All right, we'll start to turn that music down and turn our own microphones up. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Aging Well Together show. Glad to be back in person for our loyal listeners. Sorry, you didn't get me in person last week, but I'm back now and so excited to welcome you to this show and our special show because we are in November and it is National Family Caregivers Month. And so in honor of all the family caregivers, including myself, as I have shared, today's show is all about the resources to help families support their loved ones, either to age in their own homes or find new supportive communities. I am excited about all of the information we'll learn together. But before we dive into our show, as always, I want to give a shout out to WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carrboro on 103.5 FM for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. The show is also available to stream anytime on WCOMFM.org and through a variety of streaming services. So many thanks for listening to us. The Aging Well Together show is brought to you by the wonderfully helpful team from the Orange County Department on Aging, and we have one of the fabulous team members with us today. Please join us each week as we interview special guests to share information, resources, insights, and stories about the opportunities for aging well together. If you want more information on any of the issues we discuss, and I have a feeling today might be one of those shows, or if you want to suggest a topic for an upcoming show, and I am so appreciative for those that have done that, you can email us, and it comes to me, at agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com, or please connect with the Orange County Department on Aging. If you are not driving, then grab a pencil and a piece of paper. Orange County Department on Aging can be reached at 919-968-2070 or through their website at orangecountync.gov/aging. I'm also so excited that all of our recorded shows are finally now available on the Orange County Department on Aging's website. So when you go to the website, there's a link to the Aging Well Together radio show where you can listen to the past 22 shows. I continue to give so much love to Marilyn and Beverly over at the Orange County Department on Aging for doing their technological wizardry to have it up so we can have all of our shows online. A shout out to the Carrboro Bass Band, the Robert Bradford Quartet, for allowing us to use their great music. You only heard like a moment of it in the opening, but you'll hear a lot more at the end of the show. And I'm about to turn it over to our guests, but of course I need to introduce myself. You are probably used to me by now, but I am Heather Altman. I've spent over 25 years working in aging services, and I continue to work with older adults and their families, connect with supportive resources in our community. I'm a caregiver for older family members, and now I am 53. When I started the show, I was 52. I'm 53, and I'm focusing on my own changing needs, so I am super invested in how we are all aging well together. All right, I need to stop chatting so we can turn it over to our great guest panel this week. We have such a wealth and range of expertise to help individuals and families. I just want to dive into it all, so I'm simply going to share brief intros because I really want you all to hear from them directly. We have our fabulous returning guest, Kendall McMillan, the elder care social worker and a certified dementia trainer and care partner with the Orange County Department on Aging. Thank you. And we have Allison O'Shea, my new friend, who is an aging advisor and owner of Openly Aging. And her company helps aging adults and their families strategize and build an aging plan for their family. So I'm excited to learn all about that. And finally, my longtime colleague and friend and mentor, Karen Utberg, who is, among a number of roles and supports, a senior living specialist with All About Seniors, a company that helps individuals and families make the best decisions possible when it comes to choosing senior living and in-home care options. And point of full disclosure, I also work with Karen and All About Seniors, but you hear from me enough, so I'm excited for you to learn from Karen and our other guests. So welcome this trio, this trifecta of amazing women. Welcome.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Yay. Okay. So we have a lot to get into, but before we do that, we always like to ask each of our guests to share a little about themselves and what brought them into aging and supportive services. So Kendall, we can start with you since you are used to having the microphone in front of you here.
Thank you. So, yes, I'm one of the social workers at the Orange County Department on Aging and came to aging, I guess, through my graduate program. I started graduate school for social work, and with a very open mind, they said, we want you to try something new. Go with a new population. And they placed me at an agency that served older adults, and I just fell in love with it, particularly working with folks living with dementia. So I hopped around a few different places throughout grad school there, and then through some really great timing with the Department on Aging, found myself where I am now. So just really enjoy working with such a very growing and high need population with a lot of really great stories to share.
Well, we are so excited to have you here, and Kendall is my go-to when it comes to understanding community resources, and you'll talk a little bit more about that.
Absolutely.
But the Orange County Department on Aging is just wonderful, and the Aging Transitions team, so I'm excited for them to learn more. Karen, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Thank you. I have been working with senior adults for almost 25 years, and in many different areas. Working in adult day, in-home care, marketing a lot, doing a lot of marketing and sales with that. Also worked in long-term care communities and had a care management practice for about 10 years. And now, where I am now with All About Seniors.
Oh, I'm so excited. We'll learn more. And I did a little bit of geriatric care management, and I would try to summons Karen's wisdom, and then ended up joining their team. But yeah, that's an interesting world, and it is the world that I think Allison is living pretty intensely with. So Allison, tell us a little bit about you.
Well, thank you. I'm so excited to be here. So yes, I'm Allison O'Shea, and I'm the founder of Openly Aging. I spent 20 years in senior living within the executive director role. I started out in programming and then quickly moved into being the director. And what I saw, I started Openly Aging in January of 22 because I saw a missing need. So many people were coming to senior living in crisis. With no planning, families were really in crisis and overwhelmed. And a lot of times it was the first time the adult child maybe knew finances, mom's wants and desires. And so I started Openly Aging, and not to correct you, but I am different than a care manager. So I call myself.
Please, correct away.
So I call, it's been, one of those things that I've had to do while I've started this new endeavor. So I call myself an aging advisor. So a care manager to me, and I'm sure Karen can vouch, is kind of helps families handle day to day, maybe doctor's appointments, making sure that everyone's kind of connected. An aging advisor, we look at the full picture and we help families put plans together, but the family initiates, or who I call the aging ally, whoever that support system is, they are the ones that initiate the plan. I just take my expertise and say, based on what I'm seeing, here's what we think that you need to be prepared for the future.
Oh, I love that. And I love the term aging advisor, because when I was technically, and I'll do air quotes even though we're on the radio, when I didn't love the term geriatric care manager, or in the field, the aging life care professional. And I kept trying to say that I'm not here to do the fullness of care management. Mm-hmm. And so I was using, like, I'm a resource connector. Mm-hmm. I'm a support resource consultant or facilitator. Mm-hmm. So don't worry, I won't take aging advisor from you, because I'm not doing it in that same way. But yeah, trying to find that word to help describe what we're doing. But it's so important, and I'm thrilled that you that you're doing it. Openly Aging, how come that name? I'll stay with you for 1 second.
Sure.
I was going to ask you about it and thought, well, why don't I just ask you on air?
Because we don't talk about it. We, you know, as a society, I think we have this goal of youth. Well, that's ridiculous. I'm older than I was when I walked in the door today. We can't have a goal of being youthful. So we have to acknowledge that we're all aging, every single one of us, and we're all, so that's a universal issue, but all of our situations are 100% unique. So why it's Openly Aging, I want people to be more, I want people to talk about it. We need to acknowledge it. And then my logo, if you look me up, is an elephant because it's the elephant in the room. Is aging.
Because elephants, I don't know if I caught that, but elephants
no one ever catches it. That's why I always say
it. Live a long time and they're super wise and okay. Yeah. Love that.
Thank you.
Oh, well, welcome. And before I turn it over, I will do my own segment, a quick one, which I always call Fun Facts and Sexy Statistics. Kendall, you might be. And because it is National Family Caregivers Month, I think it's really important to point out that we are 53 million of us in the nation consider ourselves family caregivers. Here in North Carolina, there are 1.3 million of us, and that is totally an undercount. I know from my own world, everything now, I think it's because of what I do, but also where I am a bit in the sandwich generation, all of the conversations, we just jump right into the elephant of the room. I say my Saturday night cocktail parties, it's menopause, and then what are we doing with our parents? How are we helping them? How are we being supportive to other loved ones? And then somewhere we remember we have kids too. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh yeah, and them. But I think this has become such a huge issue. And for all 12 months of the year, but especially this month, I wanted to make sure the three of you are on. So for our family caregivers that are listening, and for our older adults that are listening, for anyone who's listening, help us understand the different services and supports that each of you provide. And Kendall, I'll go back to you, because besides the fact that the Orange County Department on Aging is my love place, but also is the sponsor of this show and helped to create this show, I always think it's important to ground our discussion in what is available through our county government, and especially at things at no cost.
Absolutely.
So Kendall, how do people work with you, and what are the supports that you provide?
Yeah, so the majority of how people work with us is coming through our aging helpline, and that is our information referral line. So I usually say, if I don't know the answer or I don't have the resource, I will find you someone who does. But it's a lot of information and referral, figuring out kind of what the concerns are, what the needs are, and what resources are out there that we can connect people with. And sometimes that's resources through our department. Sometimes that's getting folks connected with other community professionals. But in terms of things that we offer, it's a lot of those types of consultations and kind of looking at, well, we may be facing this new health diagnosis, or maybe things are getting a little bit more challenging and we need to look at other living situations, additional supports. And we kind of coach people through what's the difference between hiring a private caregiver and hiring a home care agency. What's the difference between home care and home health? How do you know when assisted living is something that you should consider? And all those different kind of conversations. So that's a big part of those, that individual work. Caregiver support groups is another big thing I wanted to highlight, particularly
Thank
this
you.
Month. And I often say that can a lot of times be more valuable than the conversations I have with people, because you learn so much more through the people who are living similar experiences. No one's experience is going to be exactly the same, but you're going to learn so much from people who face similar situations and even differences, and seeing, you know, someone has done something completely different. Maybe I don't want to do it that way, but now I know what options are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some big things. We offer a limited amount of respite. There's some funding through the county, and we also connect folks with some respite grants that are both state and national grants. So that's always an option, and we coach people through how to use that respite time. That was a big conversation I had in a support group fairly recently, is I've got this time, but what do I do with it? It's been so long since I spent some time on myself. How do I take care of myself? So those are just some of, I think, the highlights of some of the things we do.
Oh, and that's wonderful. And I know I am constantly referring folks to you, and then you refer folks to me and my colleagues. And it just earlier today, Karen, we were on a text line, and I thought maybe they should, if they're in Orange County, have them give a call over to Orange County Department on Aging. Maybe they have some suggestions. And I think it is one of the secrets that shouldn't be a secret in this community, how much services and supports you all offer, and just a wealth. And I know I've done family meetings on Zoom, and Kendall's joined. We've done group family meetings because I'm like, look, I just want to make sure you're getting the fullness of resources, especially things that we've paid for through our tax dollars. So
yes.
Use your expertise. Okay, so that's that. Karen, I'll turn to you about the supports that All About Seniors provides.
Right, yeah. So once people have talked to Kendall, and it's kind of laid out that maybe a person can no longer stay in their home, that is where we kind of come in. And I look at ourselves as, even we're senior living specialist, but I look at us as a concierge senior housing specialist.
Yeah. That's good. I'll use that.
So, again, it's having those conversations, understanding kind of what's going on with the family member. And sometimes we're talking to the senior themselves, and they're the decision makers. I would say probably 50% of the time it is talking with family members who are helping to make decisions for their aging parent.
Mm-hmm.
So with that is helping them understand the differences in a 55-over senior community to independent living, assisted living, memory care, and then the continuing care retirement communities. So as we look at that, I hear their story, then we kind of take into consideration their needs and the services that would help support them.
And the cost, I'm sure.
The cost is always a big thing. So many people don't understand that Medicare does not pay for senior housing.
Constantly. Mm-hmm. I was with a colleague the other day in Washington, D.C., and she was working on an article saying there is no Medicare fairy. It's that's right. Not who is going to be paying for the bulk of this.
Right. So it is private pay for the most part, and that's where those hard conversations come in, because as Allison mentioned, many people don't even know their parents' finances. That's not something that's shared. Mm-hmm. And an extremely helpful to have them share that.
Well, and we'll go deeper. We're still in sort of introductory mode, but we're going to go deeper into some of these issues. And speaking of going deeper, I did want to call out at some point in the show, so I might as well call it out now. We had the pleasure, Kendall and her colleagues came on one of our first shows, I think it was like episode 6, yeah. All about the aging transitions team at Orange County Department on Aging. So if folks really want to dive in more, mm-hmm. go to our website and look for that podcast that talks about, because now it's a podcast, how fun, when the recordings get put up there, around aging transitions. And Karen has a wonderful professional colleague and personal sweetheart, Bill Comfort, who was, we like that word, he was just on our show a few weeks ago, all about long-term care costs, long-term mm-hmm. care planning, and long-term care insurance. And so that was show, I think, 22. So if people really want to dive into it, it is both a lovely show and depressing, because a lot of folks are not prepared. And I'm sure that so much of what the three of you help people understand is the reality of what the costs are going to be and the types of services. But I'll turn it over to Allison to talk about, you started to share a little bit about the supports that you provide, and then I'm going to stick with you and ask you another question after that.
Wonderful. Yeah, so I describe my service as education and advice. We, unfortunately, are very uneducated consumers when we get to a certain age, because we don't talk about it, we don't think we're ever going to need it. And that makes us vulnerable. And then we're making these, as Karen said, very expensive decisions, you know, if senior living is what is the next step. Uneducated, kind of behind, you know, not ahead of the game. So that's what I do, is I sit with families, and I don't necessarily refer specific, you know, companies or in the area, but what I'll do is I'll educate them on home care, maybe coming up in your future. Here's what home care is all about, and give them an education. But then I also help them identify triggers. When is home care not appropriate anymore in the house?
Yes.
When are we going to say, okay, when it gets to this amount of money, or when maybe adult daughter has her first grandchild? You know, what is it that as a family we can decide is a trigger so no one can say, you know, you start getting in denial and, you know, becoming resistant. So that's what I help a lot of family caregivers or aging allies and the aging individual just identify, get educated, and then identify what their path may potentially look like.
I love the term aging allies. This is what's so fun about the show. I can bring my friends and colleagues on and you can teach me. I was thinking about this issue of educating and giving advice for folks. I need to share it at some point. So I was interviewed for a podcast a few days ago. One of our guests, Hugh Willard, if you listen to his show, he was the Creativity Expo show. And he asked me on his podcast, and I couldn't say no, right? He came on this show, I got to go on his. And we were talking about my career, and I started my world in the women's health work and then moved into aging issues. And I figured out not too long ago that my through line, my theme of my work is that of informed choice. I want people to really understand their choices to make the decisions that work for them and their families. And so that just sort of triggered in my mind, my own trigger, when you talked about giving education and helping people be educated and giving them advice, that keeps being something that I try to be. I'm sure all of us try to be somewhat unbiased when people are making decisions, but we want them to make decisions with the full knowledge base. Mm-hmm. And so many people are probably, well, we know, they're in denial, or their family's in denial, or, you know, if you say it, it happens. So,
or they're extreme. It doesn't mean moving from home straight to assisted living. Right. There's so many options in between that they need to be considered, you know?
I know.
Yeah, and they just don't know.
I always, I love my friends and colleagues at AARP, but as a little baby researcher myself, I hate AARP's research question about where do you want to age? And it's like, there's two choices, home or a nursing home. Like, so if you ask people, it's like ridiculous, right? It used to be like people over 50, then it was people over 45. And so, not surprising, it's like 90% of the people say, I would like to age in my own home, because it's this weird dichotomy. It's this weird, like, yeah, you're at home or you're in the most extreme nursing home, and then what do you think people are going to check? Mm-hmm. And I think part of what we all do is help them understand they have more options. Right. Now, Allison, staying with you, and you have both great blogs on your website, and remind me, you all, we can't run out of time. Kendall, I've already shared your website because it's the aging website, but I want to make sure to share the websites for Openly Aging and All About Seniors before we end. But I had fun stalking you a little bit on your website, and I hear that one of your blog posts is becoming a book, and you have a book coming out. Well, I won't tell it. I could. It's in front of me. But tell the title of your new book.
Sure.
And then give us the, what's it called, Cliff Notes?
Yeah. So not 100% the title yet, but the premise and the topic of the book is the four principles to have the most control of your aging journey. And statistically, I find this statistic pretty interesting. In 1900, there was 100,000 people that were 85 and older. The next statistic is, and that's only going to grow. It's, I think by 2050, it's like 19 million or something.
Whoa.
This
is like a global number.
This is a global number.
Yes.
But, and then within the 65 plus category, 85 and older is obviously the fastest growing, but that is also 60% of people over the age of 85 need some sort of support, an aging ally in their life. And this isn't some giving you a shower, taking you to the restroom. This is just somebody maybe picking up medicine, making sure you're eating, taking you to doctor's appointments. So that's the fastest growing, and it's the time where we need the most support. So I have the four principles, and if you focus on these four areas and really plan ahead and be thoughtful and intentional, you will have the most control. So the first one is, you have to identify your aging allies. Who is your support system going to be? Is it your adult daughter? Is it your adult son? Where do they live? Are they local? Are they in Michigan? If they are not local, do you ever plan to move there with them? And if not, and there's no right or wrong answer. If you're not, then you need to be educated on what a geriatric care manager is, because that person is going to probably be a very pivotal role, and they should come in sooner than you think you need them. What's the difference between a geriatric care manager and a patient advocate? That's also an important thing to know the difference.
We have all kinds. All right, we're going to jump into all of these
things. Yeah, so that's identifying your support system. And then the next one is living, quote, I'm doing air quotes now,
air quotes,
of living. does staying in your 3,500 square foot home that you raised your children in really make the most sense?
Yeah.
And, you know, I hear all the time, well, I don't have a mortgage. Well, think of all the expenses to maintain that home.
You have a roof. You have a garden.
Yes.
You have utility bills.
Exactly.
You have stairs.
And you're using, like, 900 square feet of it.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, it doesn't have to be senior living. Do you downsize to a condo? Do you do a patio home? I also am a believer in transitions at certain times in our life are really good for our brain.
Yes.
We have to fire new connections, meet new people in a new neighborhood, kind of, you know, the moving process is very, so living, and we really identify that. And if you want to stay home, no problem, but you need to prepare for that. What does that look like in your home?
And I guess I'll do another shout out. We had a whole show all on decluttering.
Yeah.
And so, you know, moving your stuff around and helping you either.
And children don't want it.
They really don't.
They don't want it.
Okay. So, all right.
So okay. So that's two. Number
this
three
is
them down. Supportive services. You need to be educated on what, like Kendall said before, what's the difference between home health and home care? We would used to get phone calls all the time in senior living, the insurance thing. Oh, is this, does United Healthcare pay for this? And I'm like,
yes.
If you're in a crisis,
or I'm going to use my Medicare for it. And I was like, that is for home health. It is not for home.
But what does home health mean?
Yes, exactly.
Transportation. What does that look like? What are the options? Food delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are those supportive services or things? What diagnoses do you have? Is there a neurological diagnosis? That means that, you know, you're going to have certain things that come up. You need to be educated with those supportive services. So the education. And then the last is to be, you know, the Surgeon General said it's an epidemic, the social isolation.
I know, it's a really hard word, social isolation.
Isolation, yes. And so you need to be intentional about your social engagement. Who are you as a person? Are you extroverted? Mm-hmm. Are you introverted? How do you socialize? Are you a recreational socializer, like cards, games,
mm-hmm.
or are you more of purpose? You know, you wanna join a meeting or a group, but you want to be the president, or you want to be the leader,
or volunteer. We've had Meals on Wheels. Who needs delivery folks? We have all kinds of programs
part-time
at the senior centers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that's the fourth one: is you have to be thoughtful. What happens when you can't drive anymore and your world becomes small? Is that the time you move out of your house?
Mm-hmm.
So that's. Those are the four principles.
Oh, I love that.
Thank you.
For our listeners, make sure to keep listening after our show because Alicia Reed can't join us right now because we didn't have a fourth microphone, but she is in the back room and she'll be on. And we always have a fun thing when guests are on and they start saying something. We're like, wait, we're getting the pen out. We're writing it down. So I wrote these four principles and we'll come back to them. But super, super helpful. And so, and Karen, I'll turn it to you now because – just because I want to share the love a little bit. And when folks call, and we just had the helpful framework of the four principles, what are the most pressing issues that you're hearing when they call you? What are they saying, whether it's themselves or their families?
Yeah, often it's the urgency.
Yes.
So it's a last-minute crisis,
yeah.
And they're in a rehab center and realize that maybe they can't go home. And it doesn't mean that they can't ever go home, but maybe that rehab, because of their Medicare
mm-hmm.
or Advantage plan, has decided that they don't need to be there anymore. So they need some extra support. And so what do they do next? And that comes with, often within a 5 to 7 day or 2 to 3 day range.
We need help now.
So and then again, the other thing we have also brought up is finances and mm-hmm. the cost of what these other alternatives are.
And people, I was going to ask you another question, but I'll add it on now, which is, what is it that you wish more people knew? And I know for me, it is this realization of the finances.
Right.
They're a bit shell-shocked when I talk with folks. And Bill Comfort was on a few weeks ago and was trying to help people wrap their minds around, you know, depending on the level of care, $5,000 to $12,000 a month. And a lot of people didn't expect that. And $5,000
right.
actually would be pretty inexpensive.
Mm-hmm. In our area.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And even home care. And mm-hmm. he did the fun facts and sexy statistics. And it was something like if you're bringing in, what, 40 hours a week, and that's only whatever that math
eight hours a day.
8 hours a day for five
days. Right.
You know, you're still looking at over between $3,000 and $5,000 a month. So even staying at home is not always.
And that's the cheaper side, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So yeah. other. My phone was ringing this morning off the hook. So, and I'm getting that too, people, and they're, going to the social isolation, the fun word that we can't, this gentleman I was talking to started the conversation saying, and he's at the independent living level. I mean, he said, I really want to stay in my own home. But my wife died in August, and actually I'm kind of lonely. So, and even in the arc of probably a 15-minute call, he was like, you know, I actually would be interested in looking at a different kind of community. And so part of it is this sort of soul-searching conversation just by asking the questions, and I'm literally...
And it's not a one-size-fits-all. And
exactly.
I think that's the biggest thing. People think, oh, well, yeah, there's a, you know... They'll often use the word nursing home down the street. You know, I'll just move my family member there. And they're not all, and they don't even understand what a nursing home is. And all the different things that people can have. They're an independent living or a senior community can be very uplifting, enriching, engaging. And as the person who's home, isolated, it could add a whole new dimension of their life.
And I tell people, too, all the time, if you want to age at home, okay, here's the cost, which people are shocked that assisted living is cheaper, you know, if you need 24-hour care. But also, if that were to happen, you need 24-hour care, are you comfortable having somebody in your home 24 hours sitting on a couch, maybe on their phone, because they're just kind of there for safety reasons? So, you know, I had a client of mine, and she was for her mother. Her mother was going to, oh, when my mom's dementia gets really bad, I'll move her in and I'll have hired 24-hour caregivers. And I had to say, is your husband and your son okay with, quote unquote, non-family, you know, hired caregivers sitting on your couch all night long just in case your mom needs something? And it was like a light bulb moment for her, like, oh, you're right, that people think, oh, I'll just get home care, but you need to understand what that means. What does that look like?
Well, and also the cost, as a few of you know, I walked away from my job in aging services to become a full-time caregiver, and when both of my parents were ill, they were charging, I was up in Boston, $50 an hour because there were two people, so 24/7, that became $1,000 a day. And I was like, for $1,000 a day, I will quit my job and take care of you for less. And that's what I did. So there's the cost. And then there's also I was talking to a family member the other day who said, but then I have to manage it. So then on top of their job, they're managing. Some places will do 12-hour shifts. Others do. Then you're managing three, eight, even if you're working with an agency which manages it. But still, who's the point person? And if they call out and if it's snowing? And
Exactly. And, you know, going back to kind of the elephant in the room and not talking about it, our plan should fit our finances. People avoid this conversation because I don't have enough money. I'm not going to have enough money. Well, let's back up a little bit. If money is a concern, 10 years earlier, we should be going to a lawyer, looking at our paperwork, making sure that we're setting ourselves up, trusts, whatever, property, assets that we have to deal with, in order to be able to receive services. So, but you can't do that in the middle of needing support.
Correct. Yeah, it's too late. And I think, and interesting, as I'm looking at you all, and literally there's a physical continuum. Karen said the word agents, urgency. Allison, you keep using the word plan. We need to be planful. I know I'm more involved in this conversation because this is my life too. The 10 years earlier, friends that have built additions onto their homes. I know right when my parents bought an apartment in Chapel Hill, which was brilliant because it's a wonderful aging in place space for them because it's an apartment building. I almost said elephants. Elevators, so different than their very unaging friendly home for 50 years that they were in Boston, in the suburbs, far away from everything. They did get the chairlift, you know, all the way up there. And so thinking through, how do I want to change the house? And what's funny is my parents moved the apartment first, and then we bought a house, which is a really aging-friendly house and has a in-law suite. So then my parents were like, why did we buy the apartment? We could have just moved in with you. And I was like, that's okay. Yeah. You have your apartment. But even being planful of that, like, I love, and I did end up living with them twice for 6 months, but still, it was like, no. I think it works better for all of us to have your own space, but that's not something that can be done in 5 to 7 days.
Right.
That was a planful. So, Kendall, other sort of pressing issues or I'll combine my two questions that I ask. The most pressing issues that people are coming to you, slash what do you wish more people knew?
Oh my gosh. I think everyone stole my thunder with the finances.
I'm
thinking particularly in terms of caregivers. You know, one thing, it's a cost for families to pay for care. But thinking about people who walk away from their jobs or take time away and go part-time with their jobs, how does that impact their savings and their retirement? And we just create this cycle because we've set up this society that is not designed to support folks as they're aging. So I think that's one thing. And then the social isolation and just kind of challenge of connecting with other people, because when you take on this role of caring for someone, it takes over your life. It becomes everything. So
filled with gratitude. I love you, Dad, if you're listening, but it does.
Yes. It's a really intimate place to be in with a family member, but it becomes your entire life of what you're thinking about, and you're managing doctor's appointments and home care and finances and all of these things. Your social supports slip away because no one, unless they're actively going through it too, no one can really share that with you. No one knows how to support you in that. So finding supports for the caregivers themselves is another thing that I think is really challenging. And at the same time, maintaining your relationship with the person you're caring for as a daughter, spouse, brother, friend, because when all you're doing is managing those caregiving tasks, that relationship becomes secondary, and that's how you get this resentment and burnout and frustration, because you're forgetting the most important part of that journey.
I've spoken to a few family caregivers, and Kendall, you and I were on a call with just a really burned out caregiver, and that frustration and anger in that case when I think you and I were together, I don't know if you remember it was a few months ago, the wife was really, really angry with her husband and so we had a family meeting to try to have the children. Okay, so Jewish woman from the north, that is me, but I love the southern term come to Jesus. We had a come to Jesus meeting in a really supportive way about the three children stepping up in a way that they hadn't before. And we did it in a really, I think, gentle and loving way, but say, you know, you hear how much your mother is struggling and upset and angry. What are some things that you can do? Kendall, I realized one of the services, even in our general talking, that we haven't mentioned, that I know Orange County Department on Aging is one of the sponsors of. Do you know what I'm going to say?
I do.
Okay.
I think.
All right. This is like
very favorite. I feel like it's a gem that nobody knows about.
Here we go. Which is, so Karen, so say it. You know, our
adult day
programs.
Yes.
So Kendall, and I know Orange County, we have a few, we have at least two in Orange County and one that is run through the county or sponsor.
Yes.
Quasi connected. Tell us about adult day programs and why nobody knows about this gem that they should know about.
Yeah, I think people don't know about them, one, because they are fewer and far between than some of the other resources, which is really unfortunate, because when you think about a full day at adult day, a full 8-hour day can run you anywhere between $80 to $120, $150 a day versus $1,000 a day for someone to come in and do home care for a full day. So it's a really good bang for your buck, which is great. And it provides that socialization. It provides a good meal and some rest time, some activity, all those different pieces. So we do have two adult day programs in the county. And then the Department on Aging has also just in the past few months launched our respite program, which is just one day a week right now. But it is a respite program that provides I think it's 10 to 2, about 4 hours of that social engagement. They do lunch. They do some exercise. I was actually just down there yesterday helping out with that.
And that's Allison. I'm interrupting, I think, because that's Allison Smith,
yes,
the dementia program.
Is
and
she
guess
coming?
What tomorrow, next week's topic is? Allison's coming to talk about the new dementia programs and the new respite programs. But it is amazing. And so let's call them out. We have the Charles House.
Charles House in Chapel Hill, and then Soltis Place up in Hillsborough, which is Charles House is an adult day health. Soltis Place is an adult day. Charles House is an adult day. Soltis Place is an adult day health. So they've got a little extra support if someone has some medical needs that need to be managed throughout the day.
And for those listeners who are outside of Orange County and even outside of North Carolina, just go to your County Senior Services. I go to a lot of them around different counties or even other states. If you go to just type in senior centers or county services for aging or Department on Aging, Council on Aging, you can usually find it, and then they have a list of resources. Mm-hmm. And many of our counties, like Wake County has like six or seven, mm-hmm. they run them, something like that. So there's a lot of, and you're looking for the words adult day program, yes. and they are a wonderful option. Mm-hmm. As a segue to for aging in place, yeah. this issue that everyone talks about, aging in place. We touched on it a bit before in the planning, but if there are other things that when people come to you and say, I do want to stay in my own home, or I want my parents to stay in their own home, how do you address this issue? Allison, we can start with you because I know that's part mm-hmm. of your mm-hmm. planning matrix, your principal matrix.
Yes. So kind of going back to what you said, coming to Jesus. So sometimes it's totally appropriate. Their home, maybe they thought about it when they retired. It's a ranch. We educate on what this is going to mean. You know, the safety, physical therapy, I think, is so important. If somebody decides to stay home, that should be one of the first services that they bring in, is a physical therapy assessment evaluation. They can assess the home, occupational therapy, and that's all home health covered by Medicare.
And also offered for free yes. from the Orange County Department
well,
on
there
Aging.
There you go. That's wonderful. That's good to know for me.
Yes. Marie Dagger's been yeah. on
two or three times
to talk yeah. about yeah. there's an OT, occupational therapist that will come out and do home safety assessments nice. If you're in Orange County and there's no cost.
Nice. That's wonderful. So, yeah, so we kind of assess the mobility, the safety of the home, what do the finances look like to stay there, and then we dive into education on what supportive services may come up. And then, once again, if there's a trigger involved where this isn't going to work anymore. But I do believe if you want to stay home, that there you just need to understand what that decision means and what other questions come from making that decision. And just as long as you are fully prepared and you understand the pros and cons, go for it.
Informed choice, mm-hmm, as I mm-hmm. like to say, or, you know, that if people make it with their eyes wide open, but also know that there are options. I mean, there are options that mm-hmm. will step in a somewhat
But I
urgency. A combination of things.
Yes,
as well.
Yes. Adult day.
Yes.
And then a caregiver at night. But also, kind of going back to the caregiver and what Kendall was saying with making sure we're supporting caregivers, I do a lot of support with Aging Allies on also saying, Mom, I can't be. Mm-hmm. If you can't go out of town for 24 hours, longer than 24 hours without making sure somebody's checking on Mom. Like, mm-hmm. those are some red flags. So making sure that we're also, as a family, saying, here's my boundary, Mom. I can do it until this amount of home care is needed or whatever. Or, Mom, when I come to you and say, this is way more than what I can do, you need to hear me. Mm-hmm. Because that's the only way it's going to work, as long as the aging ally who will be the support system isn't feeling burdened by this choice of staying home. Because mm-hmm. That creates resentment, anger, burnout, and so that's the conversations we have.
Well, and it's so hard because it seems like a good thing, and I lived this, you know, and we love our families and we want to support them, and we're like, and it starts off, I was reading
slow.
Something, it starts off slow. It's like, oh yeah, I can take them to the doctor's
totally.
Appointment or I can go shopping. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it starts. And I was talking to another caregiver the other day and she was like, I thought I could do it, but then it just spiraled.
So that's
there
an
was
opportunity.
More and more.
One of my triggers that I have is there more than
oh,
three?
Oh, triggers. Thank you. Yeah.
Yep. Is there more than three doctor's appointments a month?
Ooh,
that can be a very good trigger for a family because it can become a full-time job, mm-hmm. as you know, as many caregivers know. So doctor's
it was
every
my
time
full-time job. People were saying, what do you do now that you left your
yep.
full-time job? I'm like, I'm an Uber
yeah,
driver.
Totally.
I take to doctor appointments or social activities or shopping
so that
or dinner.
Needs to be considered as part of this planning is what is that going to look like and how much time as the aging ally can I realistically do?
But we also, and I think this topic could go for hours and hours.
We will. We're just going to go into Alicia's time.
We're talking about those who have the supportive children and supportive families, but we are seeing more and more mm-hmm. Those solo agers,
yes.
I guess, that have
yes.
no one. Or how about the families that, you know, were a little mm-hmm. dysfunctional growing up and they're not, don't have a relationship with mom or dad, and now they're being the ones almost, I don't want to say held responsible, but they are the ones that are having to step up and care for this aging parent that
maybe
they did not have a relationship with.
Yeah, and it becomes really complicated. I know when I started years ago at Carol Woods, my very first day there in 2003, and the residents said to me, we came here because it was the greatest gift we could give our children. Mm-hmm. We love our children. And I feel like that with my own girls. You know, I love them. There's just certain things I don't want them to have to take care of. I will share this other story for no other reason but just a, I don't know, eye roll and a giggle. A caregiver said to me a few days ago, I was also talking to him, and his wife is now in rehab, and he said, I need to bring in help. So they had that honest conversation, and he said, I need to bring in help because this is killing me. Mm-hmm. And her response was, well, you're going to die someday anyway. So, here, I mean, he had a good sense of humor, and yeah. She's having some health issues and some physical and cognitive issues. But he's like, he did have it, and he did say, mm-hmm. but, you know, this is going to kill me. And I couldn't believe her. Well, you're going to die someday anyway. You should do it. And I think there's that whole, there's not always going to be agreement, but there is that cliche saying on the airplane, put your own oxygen mm-hmm. mask on first. Right. And it is so hard to
and
do.
I do think as the generations move, the generation that really was anti, I mean, they didn't talk about anything.
Yes.
You know, that generation.
Our greatest
is,
generation, yes, the silent yes. generation.
I yeah. think so many adult children were a little traumatized by how their adult parents kind of all of a sudden needed them, but weren't receptive to any kind of, you know, help. Or I think there's a lot of that. So I do think we are at a turning point mm-hmm. where more and more people, as they're entering into retirement, are going to be more looking to plan because they don't want their children because they ended yeah. up doing that.
They've seen
and it.
It
was
we've seen
not
it.
Good.
Or folks, you know, I know for myself, I lived on a college campus. I lived in a dorm. So for me, when my dad went to college, he lived at home. Mm-hmm. So I know for me that, and I'm super social and such an extrovert, but I'm like, hey, I like apartment living. Mm-hmm. Like I liked communal living in college. I then lived. So I do also wonder if we're at a turning point that we also have a whole mm-hmm. generation of folks that maybe went away and mm-hmm. lived in dorms or other sort of apartment complexes, right. and so it doesn't mm-hmm. throw them as much, or lived in cul-de-sacs. And mm-hmm. Karen,
well,
I didn't know if
you girls, you know, yeah. that
kind of co-living is the new is the new way yeah. in order to afford.
It is. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're seeing that even in younger people, mm-hmm.
yes.
right? Not
mm-hmm.
just aging adults,
mm-hmm. which is where. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited about the topics we've had on Aging Well Together because so many of the topics we've discussed today are previous shows. So I'm like, oh, good, we're on the right track. We'll mm-hmm. bring them all back. But Golden Girls is one of those issues that from a zoning perspective and from a permitting yeah. perspective, it's not allowed. Mm-hmm. In a lot of four unrelated people cannot live together in some of our communities. Mm-hmm. It maxes out at three, especially college communities, because they want it came up from brothel laws mm-hmm. and it came up. So even these, when people are like, oh, well, I want to do Golden Girls, I'm like, did you know that it may not be allowed in this township versus this township? So, you know, for any planners and zoners that are listening, and we had Esther Greenhouse was on, an environmental gerontologist, and just talking about really the infrastructure of supporting our older adults and even these sort of innovative models. Mm-hmm. We had a big thing with accessory dwelling units, ADUs.
Yes.
So people who want to put, you know, turn in their backyard and turn what was a, you know, shack or a, I don't know what to call it, a she shed mm-hmm. into like an insulated thing. Well, that's
right.
against
Grand
some
pods.
The, I know, I was going to say it and then I, yeah, that there is this, people don't realize until they go to do it, the zoning issues mm-hmm. then you're like, wait, what? On top of everything else, they're going to give me, you know, okay. Yeah. Other issues around, you know, free form here around aging in place or around issues that you wish people knew that they're just not quite on top of and you want them to know.
For me, one of the biggest things I see with my clients, if it's an aging ally, a caregiver, they know that mom and dad are struggling, and they really struggle with jumping in mm-hmm. because family dynamics are, as we all know, they don't go away even if physical roles are switching. And so having these hard conversations can be really challenging. And so, but that's not good for anyone. It's not safe for the aging person to continue in a situation that's not working. And so I think from a caregiver standpoint is having the confidence or at least reaching out to a resource that can give you the confidence and kind of say, no, you're okay to say, Mom, you know, it's time we have to do this. And, you know, sometimes cognition issues aren't as prevalent, but where you see them is when somebody is neglecting to do what's the best for them. Mm-hmm. And that's what I always tell family caregivers. The fact that she thinks she is safe in this home mm-hmm. is a sign that she can, your mom is not making good decisions for herself. Mm-hmm. And that is an opportunity from a power of attorney, not to force, that's not, you know, we're not yanking anyone out of their homes, but to start having some serious conversations and not avoiding it anymore. And so having that peace of mind that you're doing this in her best interest or his best interest, I think from a caregiver, they need to hear that a mm-hmm. lot more than I think they hear it.
I also wonder about finding those pathways for conversations that make sense for the person. Mm-hmm. So I know for my own mom, I remember when she first moved down here, she was hesitant to have set up a new primary care practice. It was, I don't know. And then, so how I explained it to my mom, because my mom was pretty laid back when it came to her own health, but she was very protective of me and cared about me. So I tried the approach, which worked, and I said, look, I know you're cool mm-hmm. to go to the emergency room because they give you a bed and you can just sort of hang out either in the hallway, because she did a few times yeah. for 10 hours, because mm-hmm. the person themselves, and she was perfectly fine being on a gurney in the hallway for 10 hours, but you know who wasn't? Me. It was super uncomfortable for me. You know who doesn't get the heated blankets? Mm-hmm. Me. You know who doesn't get food or IV? Mm-hmm. Me. So after the second time, I said, if we get you set up with a doctor down here, then we can avoid the emergency room, which is so uncomfortable for me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't feel good for me. And she was like, oh, okay. And so, like, that mm-hmm. was helpful to say, let's think about my needs. Yes. Like, that kind of worked
very
for her.
Find yeah. what motivates them.
And yeah. so have you found other things that you're like, okay, well, like, approaches that are sort of non-traditional?
Well, I would say one of the things, I just had a conversation with my mother. Mm-hmm. She's 81. She's in great health. She is on the go all the time. She has friends that have made the choice to move into a continuum care retirement community or mm-hmm. move into an independent senior living community. And she has a hard time understanding it from times like, why would you want to do that?
Yeah.
Give up your home. But there are different, you know, different reasons that a person does that. But I have suggested, don't, you know, find an activity. Call your friend. Go and visit with mm-hmm. them with an activity or have lunch and see what it's all about. She doesn't want anybody calling her, so she doesn't want to get on any mailing list. And I said, well, then go with your friend. And she went, one of her friends actually does belly dancing.
Ooh, okay. So want to hang out with her friends.
They were doing a program at one of the communities, and she went to watch her, and they had lunch, and they had the best time. And she was able to see the community without mm-hmm. feeling the stress that, oh my gosh, they're going to be watching and yeah. coming and they're going to ask me questions and, you know, want my name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That, so. Yeah.
Can I add just one more thing that I think is important is I also notice, and I think it's caregivers need to know, sometimes our desires of aging are not what our parents mm-hmm. or who we're caring
oh,
for.
Oh, exactly.
And
absolutely.
Sometimes we create so much stress for ourselves. Oh my gosh, I need to get mom out socializing. I need to
yes.
do this. When if we just sit back, is mom a socializer?
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes we have to remember that our goals of our own aging or what we view important in aging doesn't necessarily align with who we're, you know, being the supportive system for. And so I
yes.
think sometimes we create stress in ourselves when really it's unneeded. We're doing what we should be doing. We're doing all we can, and we need to find comfort in that.
Oh, that is a great point. And we're going to end in just a minute, but I'm so glad you said that because people really do overlay their own mm-hmm. values. And so as we head into Thanksgiving mm-hmm. in just a few weeks, we have an opportunity. Many folks are going to be visiting their families. It's generally when I think all of us get a ramp up in phone calls because they go and visit their families and mm-hmm. then get a little surprised. But this is a time to have those conversations. And I know for me, whatever discussion trigger, my dad's friend died unexpectedly. And so mm-hmm. finally they were willing to talk about end of life because it was like, hey, you know, so use or hey, so-and-so just moved into this complex. Mm-hmm. What would you want? So families, if you haven't talked, avoid politics and all other kinds of conflicts.
I know, aging is just
and I know, but so if you, it's kind of like, okay, so instead around the turkey and mashed potatoes, talk about your wishes, ideally in a non-urgent way. So we're wrapping up in just a moment. Allison, I want people to know how to reach you. You can give a shout out to your website.
Thank you. Yeah, it's openlyaging.com. I'm on all social medias. I have a wonderful checklist online. If you go to my website, you can pick Aging Ally or Aging Individual, and it's 10 questions that help you see where you're at in your aging preparedness. So please, and then I have a newsletter, so that'll get you on my newsletter.
Super fun.
Thank you.
And I'm skipping over Kendall because we've already said the OrangeCountyNC.gov /aging. And Karen, how do folks find All About Seniors?
Our website is allaboutseniorsnc.com.
All right. So. Well, I cannot thank Karen Udberg and Kendall McMillan and Allison O'Shea. You all have been super helpful, and I know you are super helpful to the people that you serve. I know selfishly you are very helpful to me. And so on behalf of all of the listeners of Aging Well Together, thank you for joining us today. And
thank
listeners,
you for having me.
Thank you.
Yeah, stay tuned for next week for more fun Aging Well Together. Thank you.